It's just gone 12:30. You're listening to 4ZZZ on 102.1 FM. My name's Linda. I'm here today with Radio Democracy, and we're speaking to Lou Rice, who's a member of the Atomic Ex-Servicemen Association. And we just heard Lou's experiences from actually being at Montebello, where they did a nuclear test. And you were saying, Lou, that it was the first time, well, probably the only time in your life that you've seen the bones in your hand, so it was basically like an X-ray.
That's right, Linda. We at the time of the actual explosion, we were asked to, and we did, face away from the explosion site, but it didn't stop you from seeing the massive light ball. But then, after about a minute, I'd say, we were told we could face towards the explosion site, but not to look at it with our eyes, because it might damage our eyes, but to look through your hands. And yes, Linda, that was the first time I've seen my bones in both hands. Eventually, there was a fallout of sand and water. But we were a fair way from the site, even though it was a massive site. We understood that to that time it was the biggest explosion on Earth. It was the first British explosion, and it was bigger than any of the Americans had done. Security was very tight. We were told we couldn't even talk about it in the mess decks. And some of us were quizzed from time to time. Was there any discussion in the mess deck last night, this morning, on what we've seen? And we're pretty careful about it. All cameras were confiscated, the crew's cameras were confiscated. But I must admit, when we eventually got down to Perth sometime later, the newspapers there had pictures far better than what we'd seen, and details far better than we'd seen. But it was in the days of the Cold War, and everyone was a bit paranoid about the Russians finding out what sort of an explosion it was and the like. But history, of course, tells us that our security there was a bit superfluous, that the Russians knew more than we did, probably before the explosions had been made.
Now, we're going to talk about the health effects you mentioned before, stomach cancer. And tell me, sort of, and also people you know, what sort of health effects they had.
Well, so many of them died in their late 20s, early 30s. Again, we weren't in a position to pin anything on it. I suffered a lot from skin cancers, still do. And as I mentioned, stomach cancer, but trying to updated figures on how the ship's company had fared, particularly my own ship, I think about 60% were dead before they were into their 40s. So we've got electoral rolls and all those sorts of things, and there's so many people just missing. But a lot, of course, we'd followed up when we formed an association in conjunction with the RSL. Many widows or widows-to-be referred cases to us. From my point of view, it's been very disappointing to see the reaction of the government when we present a fellow who's nearly dead and look, here's the situation, it's cancer, he was there. And in comparison with the American government and the British government and even the New Zealand government, they've been far more generous and accepting of the situation in relation to compensation, medical expenses and the like, than the Australian government has been. However, over the last, say, 3 years, the Australian government did set up a Clark Committee, a retired judge. They went round Australia wherever they could find groups or organisations like our own and took details. They made a tremendous number of recommendations, and we're very hopeful that a lot of those recommendations will be taken up. For my part, I'm on a consultative committee based in the Department of Veterans Affairs in Canberra. We meet every few months, and there are some scientists from the Adelaide University at the moment mopping up. They might have some way of finding more details of deaths than we have. At once, cancer death wasn't necessarily recorded as cancer. Similarly, a lot of people, when they've found that they're riddled with cancer, sadly, they've seen the only way out as suicide. And then death certificate says suicide. But the lack of mentioning of the cancer being the basic cause of death has thrown all our studies out.
I understand that the government, I was reading last night in your newsletter, the Atomic Ex-Serviceman's newsletter, that there's only certain forms of leukemia or cancer that the government recognises for claims of compensation?
That's right, Linda. The Australian government, that is, they've got a list of cancers which they say are associated with ionising. But the those limits aren't put on by the American, Canadian, New Zealand and British governments. So we just hope that the Australian government falls into line with the others.
We might go to another song now, and then we'll come back and talk with Holly some more about the tests at Emu Fields and the experiences actually on the Australian mainland. This is Combat Wombat now with White Australia.
Eradication, annihilation. Eradication, annihilation, degradation. Eradication, annihilation, degradation of a nation. You invaded, manipulated, segregated, made grace for the death that you instigated. What can you do to right your why you fight? Boy, a flag and you do your duty right. Think you're superior, you set the criteria, making a law that black people are inferior. No remorse, religion enforced, plunder the land to the point of exhaust. Still denied, you lied, you never tried, got no true pride, so there's nothing to hide. An 88 repeat, only more discreet, take their homes away, get them off the street. Reclaim their land just like a replay, then one day claim Redfern and take it away. No respect for white law on black land. Shame at the blood stains on sacred sand. Cause white Australia's got a black history that never ceded sovereignty. Never ceded sovereignty. Old people are born, these mates of mine have been roaming the land since the start of time. They know the stories of this land, and I try my best to understand. But a lot of the land's been poisoned or stolen as capitalism keeps the Western world rolling, rolling. Multinational companies are dividing up communities with brainwashing and bribery. Stories you won't read in the library. Cause white Australia's got a black history that never ceded sovereignty. Never ceded sovereignty.
off our forest for nonsense attack. Mining poisonous rock, dooming us all to toxic shock. Shock. Uncle Kevin's charging them with genocide to pay the rent for all those that died in his cultural lands that have been destroyed. Been destroyed. Sometimes it makes me wonder why, but I ain't gonna sit back and cry. Gonna go out there and show you care, cause we can make a difference everywhere. When the hammer comes down, plead no jurisdiction to the white laws full of restrictions, inflictions. Cause white Australia's got a black history that never ceded sovereignty. Never ceded sovereignty. What kind of hero was Captain Cook? And where's the genocide in the history book? Still the children raise their wives, then make sure there's no blacks alive. Claim the shores, take the land, make no attempt to understand. Intercept without respect. 200 years later, still no regret. No apology, no sorry, end of story. Does this represent your white British glory? Respect to everyone at Aboriginal Tent Embassy, everyone part of the struggle for land rights. Fight the genocide. No respect for white law on black land. Shame at the blood stains on sacred sand. Peace to this country's native tribes. Respect to Indigenous people worldwide, worldwide,
And that was Combat Wombat with White Australia. It's about 20 minutes to 1 o'clock. You're listening to Radio Democracy on 4ZZZ 102.1 FM. And today on Radio Democracy, we're talking about the 50th anniversary of the first atomic bomb blast on Australian soil, which was today, August 15, 50 years ago. And Holly's here. Holly, you were just down at the Kalini Kalini gathering, which was held by the Kunga Judas, the senior Aboriginal women, and they were actually there and remember the first test.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. Kalini Kalini means, are you listening? And there are about 200 of us and about 100 Indige mob down there. We all came together to listen to their stories, and it's the first time it's ever really happened. Some of the women that were talking have never talked about Maralinga before, and we all sat around in the desert on their land and listened to them talking about when the bomb happened, and they saw this explosion and they thought it was really beautiful, and then a cloud came over and they said their eyes started hurting and they couldn't see for days. And then they talked about how they had to start burying people because people were dying, and just kept moving around and people got sick. And now, I mean, these old ladies, they're 70, 80 years old, and some of them are blind, got tumours, they're really sick. They're seeing their grandkids being born with really bad asthma and birth defects, and, you know, they're still living with this legacy today. No one told them what was happening. They had no idea. And it was really, really scary to be sitting there looking at these people and realising it wasn't that long ago. It was only 50 years ago, and it just amazes me that, you know, we learn about the Holocaust in school, and we learn about all these other huge things that happen, but no one's talking about this. No one talks about what's happened on our own soil, and just the genocide, really. Yeah.
And it's still, like, the land where the tests were done, in Emu Fields and Maralingo, it's still poisoned. Terry Toon from the Atomic Ex-Serviceman was talking about a man who went out there to go back because he was there at the test, and he went back and there's dead mice and birds everywhere. Do you have anything to add, Lou?
Not specifically. I was not at the Emu Field tests, but I know that the cloud from Totem 1, the first of the explosions, it wasn't like the mushroom one that we're used to, but the cloud went up and it broke into two. And, of course, it goes up to a massive height. And then, as usual, they go nor-norwest or west-norwest. And I know that the cloud from Totem 1, it came into Queensland, and the Air Force were commissioned to keep testing and tracking the cloud to see where it went until it left the eastern coast of Australia. But the cloud did go over Emerald, an area near Emerald, a grazing area, and rain came down through the cloud. Now, the effects there, bad effects everywhere are where the rain comes through the cloud. Subsequently, there were a number of cattle taken to the sale yards and abattoirs at Emerald, which suffered from, I think, not all that unlike mad cow disease, spongy form, and the graziers put their finger on what it must have been. And the government compensated the graziers and hushed the whole thing up. Then parts of the cloud, they went down, they traced it. This is the Air Force. Traced the cloud around Kingaroy and Dalby, but it didn't rain through there. But there was a bit of a rainstorm when the cloud was over a section of Rockhampton, and subsequently more than average number of children in that area suffered from leukemia. Again, the government didn't want to know about it.
Holly, can you tell me some more of the experiences down at that the gathering down near Cooper Pedy at the 10 Mile Creek Bush Camp?
It was a really big cultural exchange. It was the first time that many Greenies and Indigimob have come together, and I think that was the strength of it, because we came together to hear their stories and then from there to talk about the waste dump. The message that kept coming through was that they're so scared, and they're so scared about their water. Once the waste dump's in, it's going to poison the water table even further. And they just kept saying, you know, our emus drink from this, our kangaroos drink from this, the cattle drink from it, and then we eat them and we drink it, and we're all sick already, and we're going to get even more sick. And they've got a really strong connection to land down there. They live not completely traditionally, but they take their grandkids out onto the land and they go walk about and they show them bush tucker skills and survival skills and the dreaming and things like that. And you can't just remove the people from that land. That is their history and their dreaming, and it's being poisoned over and over again. They've got Roxby Downs in the area. Maralinga happened there. They're going to have the waste dump at Woomera. And, yeah, they just kept saying, please go out there and tell our story. No one is listening, and the government doesn't listen, and they're so tired. They're old ladies, and it was really scary and quite sad to watch them. And I kind of got the feeling that they didn't think anyone was going to take over from them. They're teaching their grandkids, but there seems to be a bit of a generation gap. And I don't know whether they are aware of how much the environmental movement is interested in fighting against the waste dump.
Great, thank you. It's been great having you in here. We've got about 10 minutes left, so we might go to another song now and then speak a bit more about the issue. And there's a silent vigil coming up this afternoon as well.
We don't hold this nuclear radiation plant. We don't hold this nuclear radiation plant. We don't hold this nuclear radiation plant. We don't hold this nuclear radiation plant in our back door.
Some mineral complexes. In other words, it renders them futile. It also generates large quantities of free radicals, which are then mopped up by the antioxidants that are naturally present in the food. And the thing about these antioxidants is once they've been spent, they've been spent. So the food you eat, the last thing it is nutritious.
You just heard Dirty Dinner by the Terror Sisters. It's 6 minutes away from 1 o'clock at the tail end of Radio Democracy. We're just going to wrap up with the issues that we've been talking about today, which all has to do with today being the 50th anniversary of the first atomic bomb blast on Australian soil. We've got we've had Lou Rice in here from the Atomic Ex-Servicemen's Association and Holly from QEEN, the Australian Environmental Queensland Environment Activist Network. Holly, there's a vigil coming up this afternoon.
Yeah, there's a vigil at 4:30, a silent vigil at King George Square. So if people would like to come and show some support, we just want to get the message out to Australians that this has happened quite recently in history, and try to carry on the work of guardianship for the land that the Kunga Judas have been doing for so many years, because it's not just black responsibility, it's also white responsibility. Another thing that came out of the gathering down in Kupipiti was a decision to try and get some funds together for a possible action against the proposed waste dump early next year. So we're going to be doing some fundraising for that, and I'll be helping get some bands to offer their services to be on a CD, a compilation CD. And we'll have launches in each of the major cities. So if anyone out there does want to put their band on it, that'd be really appreciated. And I'll just give you my number and you can give me a call. 0415 926 073. That's 0415 926 073.
Or just contact us here at 4ZZZ on 3252 1555, and we'll pass the details on.
There's also a Queen meeting tonight at 6:30 at the Con, the Conservatory of Music at Southbank, just meeting in the foyer. So if people want to get active on this event, that'd be great to see people coming up there.
Great, thank you. Well, thanks for coming in, Holly, and thanks very much, Lou, for coming in and sharing your experiences with us. It's been an honour, and best of luck with future events. There's a annual general meeting coming up too?
In Newcastle, yes, over the, not this coming weekend, but the following weekend. It's specifically to coincide with the time, or round about the time, of the emu field tests.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll leave it there. Thank you to both of you for coming in, and thanks to everyone for listening. And Chris the Slack Bastard is up next with the Slack Bastard Show. He's actually turned up this week, which is a good thing. So I'm going to leave you with a song from I. It's called A Nice Walk in the Park. Thanks for listening.
Just the other day, I went for a nice walk in the park. It really was most relaxing. The birds were chirpy. The small furry animals were happy. The sun was shiny, but not too hot.